Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here, we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Here to Be Human podcast. Today I am speaking with Kaylee. Kaylee grew up in a family of seven girls with her mum always speaking of birth so beautifully and passionately with no fear around it. She was intrigued and drawn to birth from a young age and has her mum to thank for this. She was also present at the birth of her youngest sister born in hospital. All of these experiences shaped her own journey into free birthing her two daughters and the deep passion she has for birth. Before becoming a mum, Kaylee worked 10 years in the human and community services field, which was all a big part of her finding herself as a woman and really realizing that the 9-to-5 go, go, go structure was not supporting her body or cycles. Now, every day, she is consciously creating a life for her girls. It's not always easy, but she knows who she is. She knows what she wants for them and what she doesn't. Motherhood is no easy task, especially when doing it from a deeply conscious space. But it's well and truly worth it. Welcome, Kaylee.
Thank you, Lucy.
Oh, I loved reading your little intro and backstory into who you are and can relate to so many aspects of your story. I think the thing that I would like to sort of dive a little bit deeper into first of all is just your the modeling, I guess, around birth that you had from your mom, that it wasn't something to fear, that you witnessed birth at such a young age. Yeah, speak to me about this, because this is a very unique perspective that you got to have as a child.
Yeah, absolutely. I consider myself really lucky because I have been raised with that sort of really positive aspect around birth. But growing up, and even up until recently, I haven't realized how special that is. To me growing up, that was just so normal. Mum spoke about birth in such a powerful way, and that women were so capable, our bodies were so capable, and you know, you don't need this, you don't need that, referring to intervention. And you know, she would talk about all of the births that she had, which were in hospitals, but none of them she had any medications or anything like that, and was very much like, no, you don't need that, your body's capable. And it's been the way that I've grown up, with that view, with that knowledge, and it's made me really passionate about birth from a young age, which just feels kind of natural to me. I went into my first daughter's birth without any fear, which was, in hindsight, like a bit of a rookie. I had no fear, and I was like, yep, we can do this. And if I had any fear, it was more around if we were birthing in the hospital. But I was birthing her at home, and it was a long labor. And while I still don't think I should have feared it, I think I went in a little bit naive about how hard and how challenging it was going to be as well.
Can I just quickly backtrack a little bit? You chose to free birth for your first baby, and yeah. What sort of prompted that decision? Was it that you just felt so in tune with your body and trusted birth so much, or like, was there other people around you that also kind of showed you this path, its way of birthing? Or yeah, what was the main sort of...
I had definitely not heard of free birth prior to my own sort of conception journey. But whenever, like growing up, I imagined my birth, I don't really recall ever imagining it in a hospital setting. And my partner and I, we started like a bit of a conception journey and really focusing on that. And I became obsessed with listening to birth stories and listened to heaps. I was loving them all. And then I found Anita, forgotten her last name, the midwitch. She has a podcast, and I was listening to her birth stories, and there was free birth stories on there. And I was just like, this is it. This is how it's supposed to be. And from then on, like, if I heard hospital birth stories, like, it didn't give me that same, like, yes, this is it. It was more like a grieving for how that went, because often the hospital birth stories I was listening to was like very medicalized, very, very intervened with, and the home births and the free births weren't. And I'm like, yep, this is what we were doing. And I want to acknowledge my partner Todd there, because he just like went on that whole journey with me. I've heard of women say, oh, no, my partner won't let me. Like, I wasn't going to let that happen. He let me lead in birth. Like, he leads us in a lot of ways, but he let me lead in birth and pregnancy and the things that he knew that, they were my, what I knew. He knew that I, I'm not making sense now, but you know what I mean.
No, I fully get it.
Yeah. And so he came on that whole journey with me. He listened to the podcast with me. He, listen to all of my rants about this intervention and the cascade of interventions and how it causes this and that. And he even came to the Birth Time documentary with me. I don't know if you've heard of it. And he was the only man in the cinema that actually approached us and said, oh, are you guys supposed to be in this cinema? There's this one on next door, and it was like some R-rated, like really violent movie. And we're like, oh, no, we're good, we're meant to be here. And yeah, so I'm very grateful that I never felt like I had to persuade him. He was just there trusting me and letting me lead in that space.
Wow, that's so incredible. And we need way more men like this that are just so, open to following the instincts of their partner and learning and doing their own birth prep, their own conception, prep before pregnancy, even, because we carry so much, like so much of our own birth stories in our bodies. Like women are more and more aware of this, but like men too,
Yeah,
And I
we all
think,
came from there
yeah, exactly.
from
And
birth.
it's so vital that we sit with like our conditioning and stories and patterning to just go that little bit deeper because like it does surface at some point.
Yeah.
So if we can address it before pregnancy, like, and just have that solid foundation to conceive a baby into, that's so beautiful. And then, yeah, I love the fact that you could just unfurl in pregnancy and you could just completely be and express yourself how you needed to because you had that safe place with your partner, like that he was just there to support you and be of service. And that's, oh, yeah, how it's meant to be, hey.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fine balance between the masculine and feminine, and just recognizing those roles. And it's like a, it's almost like a sacred little agreement of what we will carry each other through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so were you doing any birth work before you had babies, or is this sort of that's been interwoven through your motherhood
No,
journey?
it's more been so I haven't specifically worked with birth yet, but I do have like a little business that I'm sort of been creating lately. I've always wanted to work with birth and with women. So I created that Instagram page around that and sort of sharing my passions around free birth, because I was like, when I was getting into it, I was just like, everybody needs to know about this and like just know what they can do. Because it's not that I think every woman should free birth. You should free birth however you feel safe. But it's more the fact that like free birth is less known about. And maybe if more women knew that that was something that they could just do, then, hopefully, I hoped it would inspire some people and just get some more word out there about the system and the over intervention that is just ongoing all the
The
time.
reality of what it is to birth in the system, I think a lot of people still have blinkers on about. It's too intense to believe. And even if you don't free birth or whatever, it's like I think it is such a good place to start, like having that radical responsibility over your experience and understanding like how you operate, what you want your birth to be like, what all of the options and choices and risks and not risks are, like advantages of certain places of birth and what physiological birth even is and how to support it and what interrupts it, and then choose your place of birth around that. It's like you're in the driver's seat and you're fully informed, as opposed to finding yourself in a compromising position where you're like, I didn't realize this was the reality, until after, which can be so traumatizing. And, one in three women, I would argue more, have, birth trauma now. And it's just like, that's ridiculous and so sad.
Absolutely. It's heartbreaking. And yeah, it's I think to I speak for myself, I guess, when I acknowledge that journey that I went on through to conception and free birth, I think for me it really supported stepping into motherhood as well. Because there's a lot of people that, might think that I'm doing the wrong thing if I'm free birthing and all this. Like, I didn't have any ultrasounds with my first pregnancy. And yeah, I just wasn't in the system at all. And a lot of people frown upon that. But for me, that meant just standing my ground and shutting a lot of people out, saying no to people. And I suppose just being true to my values and not letting anyone else in, none of the noise in. And I think that that sort of helps your like transition into motherhood, because that's a big part of motherhood, is to like stand in that power and say no to people, and because you're the voice for your child as well. So you're not only saying no to things that don't feel good for you, you're recognizing when something's like not okay for your kid, and you speak up for them as well.
Yes,
And like
absolutely.
before this, I was definitely like a people pleaser. So that was a journey to go through of like working that out and yeah, flipping
Yeah.
it
It's so big. Oh my
over.
goodness. Do you want to share? Like, I'd love to hear that story of like that first pregnancy and that birth experience and becoming a mother. Like, what was that like for you?
So my pregnancies, I actually think that they were really quite spiritual. I remember very early on, I had a dream, and I had to, I was in labor and I had to birth. This like angelic voice came down and spoke to me, and it was like, you have to birth these four snakes before you can birth your child. But I wasn't scared. I felt sort of like protected and calm, and everything was really safe. So I birthed these four snakes, and then I was able to birth my baby. And the snakes, while I was birthing my baby, were just surrounding me. And yeah, it was amazing. The next morning, I had been reading a book. And the page that I was reading that day, it was Rachel Reed's book, Reclaiming Birth as a Rite of Passage. And I was reading the specific page I was up to on that book was about, I think it was four goddesses that represented as snakes. And I was just
Wow.
like, this is a message that I'm being guided, I'm being protected through this journey. Because even though like it came so naturally to just be like, yes, I'm free birthing, it was also big. It was like a big deal for me. It was, yeah, I was just going for it at full speed. And yeah, it was a bit of a conception journey. We like sort of weren't sure if we were having trouble conceiving, so we've really looked at everything that we were doing. I was doing like a lot of weight training, and I sort of started to cut that back a little bit and train differently. And I sort of thought that I was really healthy, but it was that sort of gym type idea of health where you're counting all these things. And then I sort of like, your macros and your calories and whatever. And then we started to look at ingredients, and we're like, right, that's the real, like, that's what we really want to be looking at. And that's like a whole journey in itself, but that definitely led to me improving my health and my partner's health and conceiving. And then we went sort of down the acupuncture road. And that was really interesting because we were sort of getting rid of the foods that we were eating. And the Chinese herbalist said, like, you've got a cold uterus. It's a hostile environment for you to be able to carry a baby at the moment. You need to bring warmth back to your uterus. So that was really cool. And that's actually when we conceived. I was doing like a session a week with this Chinese herbalist, and yeah, during that, maybe like week three or four, we conceived. And I'd fall asleep like every appointment, just like this massive heat lamp over my uterus and different needles in different spots. It was just absolutely bliss. And then I did that for the rest of the pregnancy. It was really beautiful. But yeah, I was really sick. I don't know. I wouldn't say if I had HG, but it just followed me through the whole pregnancy, but like on and off. Like I could go 3 weeks fine and then another 3 weeks really sick. Yeah. But that birth was, it was long. It was, I broke my waters broke on like the Saturday, and she wasn't birthed until the Monday night.
Wow.
I wasn't having labor contractions on the Saturday or the Sunday. They sort of like, there was a few niggles that came and went, but it didn't really pick up until Sunday night. So my biggest mistake there was not resting, because I was like a kid on Christmas Eve, like she's coming, or our baby's coming. And yeah, it took a long time, and I just couldn't sleep. And that was a mistake.
How many weeks were you at this point when your waters released?
I think I was about 39.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, tell me about that time waiting sort of for active labor to come, like what was moving through your headspace and
I think I
then.
just expected it to go faster. Like I was excited. I was so excited to birth. Like the whole pregnancy, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, like the birth, I'm a bit nervous. I was like, I cannot wait to birth. Like if anything, I should have just like relaxed into the process and waited for it to happen when it would happen. I was even expecting to be pregnant for like 44 weeks. I was like, yep, I'm not in the system. It'll last forever. And yeah, 39 weeks. And I was just like, I was so happy and so excited, but I just expected it to go faster. And then I knew it was going to be challenging, but I just didn't know how challenging. And like I had a lot of back and bum pain that was just horrendous. Like that was so much. And my sister and my mum were there, one of my sisters, and she was sort of like getting me to do these positions on the couch, and because we believed Iva was not posterior. I think she was like off to the side of the birth canal, like just not the best position. And yeah, so we were trying a few positions to sort of get her to move because I ended up saying, like, something's going on. I've been in labor for hours and she's just like, nothing's changing. She's not moving. And so we tried that. And eventually we rang my friend who's a doula and she said, just lean up against the wall and put one leg up on like a little platform, not very high. And that was the most soothing position I had been in the whole birth. And like here I'd been like doing all these upside down ridiculous positions off the couch and like, oh, this will work, whatever. No, it was the most simple position and it was so soothing. I felt amazing in that position. And then I just felt this sudden change and I looked at mom and I said, my body just pushed on its own. She's moved. And yeah, just in that position with one leg up, she's moved down the birth canal. And I was just like so relieved. Yeah. So then it was just, I was on all fours and like that body, that feeling of your body just pushing on its own. I'd heard so many birth stories and I was like, yeah. This is what they mean. And like, I thought it was incredible. I loved second stage, first stage. Oh my God, that was just horrendous. But second stage, I was like, this is epic. Like, I didn't actually find it painful second stage, more so just quite intense, very intense, but not painful.
So your body pushed your baby out. Like, was that seamless, or like, did that take a little while or a bit of effort on your part? Walk me through that.
That was can't remember how long that took. Maybe an hour or two. It felt a lot quicker though. And afterwards, like she came out, it was so sweet. She came out not making any sound, and that's another thing that I just found so special because that's her personality. And I knew that had I been in the hospital, she'd be getting rubbed and wriggled about and whatever until she cried. And it's just, there's no need for that. And it was so special to just have her. I caught her in my own arms and pulled her up, and we were just staring into each other's eyes. And it was so special, to have that moment. And so that felt like it really lasted a long time. Meanwhile, my partner's like in the background making jokes. Not at that stage, but I think when I was like on all fours, he turned to my mum and he's like, "You got your safety goggles, Jerry, or something?" And I'm like, obviously tuning out to that. Yeah, then eventually I sort of realized that she had like a bit of fluid stuck in her nose. So she was like, she was fine, but she needed it to come out. And I did not even think about it. Like I'd ne actually never even heard of it before, what I'm about to say. And I just bent down because her cord was really short. I couldn't pull her to my face. So I've sort of bent down to her on the ground and I'm just like sucking her nose and her mouth and spitting it out, sucking, spitting. And then yeah, there she was, like took a big breath and you could tell that it was all clear and Todd was just like, wow, like you really do know what you're doing. Like you don't need anyone to tell you how to do this or how to birth. It's just all very primal and instinctual. But yeah, I was absolutely wrecked. I was so exhausted. And one thing I wish I'd sort of like spent more time learning about was the placenta and being really mindful about birthing it. And yeah, so my body just shut down. I was so tired and I was up against the wall, like I could have just fallen asleep. And I sort of like, I was losing a lot of blood in like gushes. And at first, I wasn't really concerned. And everyone was sort of bringing me water and some food. And then I was just like so pale and I was passing out. I was throwing up. And yeah, so I continued to lose blood. And after a while, because we were trying a few things, we decided to cut Iva's cord after it had sort of turned white because she couldn't really reach my breast. And we tried to feed her and get her to latch and all this sort of stuff to help the placenta come out, and just wasn't happening. I think in hindsight, what happened was my body was just so exhausted that when she was birthed, it all closed over. Like it just wasn't open for birthing the placenta anymore. And I said to Todd, I want extra help. Like, which before the birth, I couldn't believe that I like that would happen, or that I would like even, ask for help. I just didn't think it was ever going to need to happen. So yeah, I got a helicopter to the hospital, and Todd was with Iva the whole time. I had lost like 5 or 6 liters of blood. And then after a little while at the hospital, because it was just like, oh, they removed the placenta themselves. They had tried like oxytocin and stuff like that, which was heartbreaking to me, but I had surrendered to the support that I'd reached out for. And yeah, it was all so much harder than the birth itself. Like they were palpating my belly, like pushing on it so hard. And I was like screaming. That was all so much worse than the birth itself. And then before going in for surgery, they said, you might not have a uterus when you come out. Like, we don't know. And so I think
Oh
the
my
first thing
God.
I said when I came out was like, is my uterus still there? Can I still have children? They said, yeah, it's there. I was so relieved because I just went into it thinking, I'm going to tell Todd this is our only baby when I come out. But yeah, then I was reunited with Iva, and after a couple of days of just feeling horrible in there because, I don't really make food or nourishment for postpartum mothers. I discharged myself because, yeah, that it was kind of, they said you're allowed to do it, but we don't really want to let you. And I just, yeah, I said, Todd, I'm ready to go. And I went home, I had a good meal and real sleep, and I felt amazing. So, yeah, that was a big deal for me, I guess, because yeah, I just didn't think that anything like that was going to happen. And I guess that's why I say in hindsight, like I needed to rest more and just let the process be. But yeah, I definitely needed to rest more. And I knew that my body was very, very exhausted at the end. And then that's sort of when I became pregnant with Torvi. Those fears came up. I hadn't been fearful of birth until the second pregnancy, and I was like, I'm still going to free birth. Like, there's no other way I'm birthing. But what if this happens again? So that was something that I had to work through in my second pregnancy.
So what, talk to me about that process and moving through those fears that were presenting and unpacking your experience from the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was pregnant with Torvi and I was so excited. We didn't actually do a pregnancy test for her. I actually just sat on the toilet one day and I said, Todd, I smell pregnant. And from then on, I was like, yeah, I am pregnant. And it's kind of funny because he didn't realize that when I said that, I was like certain. And so a few weeks later, I'm like, crying to him on the couch. And I'm like, I'm so sorry that I've been so emotional. It's the pregnancy. And he was like, what? I was like, you do know I'm pregnant. And he's like, are you? Like, he just hadn't realized. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, are you gonna do a test? And I'm like, no, I don't need to. And for a little bit, he was sort of like, oh, but you know, I need you to. And that was something for him to work through himself. Like, he's not feeling or like in tune with my body. So again, it was a new way of him having to sort of trust that I knew. But yeah, I ended up actually bleeding like my whole pregnancy with Torvi. And so that was like bringing up a little bit in itself. Most of the time I was fine. And then I sort of said to myself, you know, if the bleeding's still there in the third trimester, then I might think about getting an ultrasound because I certainly didn't want to go into birth with something like a placenta previa. And that was bringing fear to me. Like, if I didn't get the ultrasound and check, then I was going to go into birth with fear. So I also connected with a woman. I don't know if you know of her, Sister Morningstar. She talked to me a lot about the placenta and birthing the placenta and sort of pointed me in the right direction of healing from the other birth. And so there's a bit of a connection with the bleeding and the placenta fears. I, in third trimester, I was still bleeding. And so I said, yeah, Todd, I'm gonna get an ultrasound. Just like 36 weeks or something, and check where it is. And for me, it sounds ridiculous, but that was a big deal because I was so like anti-engaging with the system. I actually felt like shame or something for going to get this ultrasound. Like it was a little bit of an ego hit or something that I was choosing to do it, which I'm like totally at peace with now. And it did feel really invasive because she ended up choosing to do like an internal. They were blown away. They were like, where's all your other ultrasound like data and information? And I was like, oh no, I haven't had one. And they were like, so do you know that you're pregnant? I'm like, yeah, like I'm like 36 or 37 weeks. And they're like, I don't understand where all your ultrasound information is. I was like, no, I haven't had one. Like, I just want to come and check the placenta. And so she's like, oh, this is going to be maybe like an hour long ultrasound because I'm going to check this, 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 and this. And she wanted to go through all the things that I'd missed or that, you know, they considered that I'd missed. I was like, no, we're just checking the placenta location. And she was actually really good. It was more the admin team that were like sort of pushing it. But when I got to the sonographer, she was like interested to hear my perspective and was like, okay, it's fine. I respect it. Like, we're just going to check the placenta. And it was so interesting. So the night before, I was like, we hadn't buried either's placenta. I had like a lot of emotion attached to it and like hadn't really known what I wanted to do with it. And so honestly, I was like holding on to it. And I said, we need to do something with the placenta before this next baby's born. And Todd's like, yeah, okay. We went out into the backyard, we like lit a fire, and we told Ivor what we were doing and decided to plant it in the backyard. And I'm not even kidding. When we put the last shovel of dirt over the placenta hole, there was just this weight in my uterus that just completely lifted, like completely lifted. It was just not there anymore. And I had been feeling really heavy, as if like baby's head was in my like at my vagina like the whole time. I thought it was so strange. And then yeah, it's just lifted. And so when we're and that night actually, so I'd been bleeding every day. No blood that night, none. No blood the next morning. I'm like, this is so interesting. in the ultrasound, she's like, oh, it looks like you did have a low-lying placenta or maybe even placenta previa, but it's like about a centimeter or two away from the cervix now, and you're fine to birth like vaginally. And I was just like, oh my God. I think that the placenta lifted when I let go of the emotion from Ivor's placenta and I was able to move forward, detached myself from one, and like really was able to give all of my love and energy to the other one. And it's just blown my mind about how much energy is connected to everything that's happening with our body.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I have goosebumps. That is amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And in Torvi's pregnancy, I actually dreamt of snakes as well. Yeah, they've both felt quite spiritual. I was like laying in a tree in like beautiful sun shining down, and there was like the snakes again brushing my hair. It was so strange, but so beautiful and peaceful at the same time. And yeah, they've both just felt like really spiritual, like magical journeys almost, very, very connected. And we've buried Torvi's placenta with Ivor's, with like the intention to strengthen their sister bond. So that's really nice. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's so beautiful. I've heard so many stories of this like sense of incompleteness when a placenta hasn't been buried yet, if someone has been holding onto it in the freezer or,
Yeah.
and then that as soon as it's returned back to the earth, there's like this sense of relief and completion. And there's just so much energy connected, obviously, with the placenta and the baby. And it's like it needs to be returned back to source. And if it's in the freezer for however many years, it's like in limbo, you know?
Yeah.
I've really shifted my perspective on placentas like over the years, because initially I consumed my first few placentas, but I still have some of them in the freezer, and it's been this like, yeah, I need to plant the rest of them. Like it's just been this thing, and when I had my last baby, I needed to plant it. Like I had zero desire to consume it, whereas in the past, part of the reason I did is because I'm very anemic postpartum and it did help me so much.
Yeah.
But I was like, I do not resonate at all to consume this placenta that is my baby's, and I need to, yeah, the on the day that he was a week old, we like did a little ceremony and put it back into the earth, and it was like such a healing experience to do it that way. And I think we all have different ways to honor the placenta that resonate for us, but definitely having that intention and that planning around how you're going to honor the third stage of labor. I actually hate calling it the third stage of labor, but it's my midwife conditioning. But you
Yeah.
know, like the birth of the placenta, like how are we going to honor that birth and then that separation of the baby and the placenta, and then how are we going to honor the placenta once it's complete in its
Yeah.
purpose in the birth space and with the baby. And it's the energetics of the placenta are so profound. And that story, oh my God, that's just
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah, it's I think about it so often, like there was so much letting go to do. And Ivor and I have always been so attached, which I know is like normal and super healthy for her age and everything. But I think for a little while, there was something more there about letting go of the placenta as well. And then, like in Torvi's birth, her birth was so quick. It was like 3 hours. It was just me and Todd and Ivor. Todd and Iva helped catch her and everything. Like, it was so much, like, just so different to the first birth. Like, and it was, that was a relief that it was quicker, but it was also like so fast that I was like, whoa, it's already finished. And straight after, I like really had Sister Morning Star in my mind of like, all right, let's like be conscious of staying really in this birth primal state to birth the placenta and be in upright positions and all that sort of stuff. It was so important and I think redemptive for me and Todd to like birth Torvi's placenta and not have to transfer. And yeah, so I got up in an upright position and I did actually, I could feel it coming, like it was ready to birth, but can't remember why. I did have the cord like wrapped around my fingers and just sort of like supported it out, which is funny because like in the medical system, it's like do not pull on your cord. But the difference is in the
Although they
medical
do pull on
system.
your cord
Yeah,
in a
and the
managed.
difference, exactly, yeah. And I think the difference is that they're doing it and they're not in tune with your body. Whereas I knew what was going on and I just instinctually was like, this needs to happen. And I wasn't, tugging. I was very careful. It was more like a guiding it out. And we were so excited when it was birthed. We were like hugging and kissing over the placenta. And then I was bleeding a little bit and but nowhere near as much, but I was conscious of it. I was like, I don't know if this is like a thing for me. So I just said, Todd, can you go and cut off some of the placenta for me? And he's like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. Like how big he thought, like tiny. I was like, no, give me like a good chunk. And he brings it back over and I just like swallowed it whole. He's like, okay, yeah, cool, we're doing this. And the bleeding stopped. Because I'd heard of it before. And so I was just like, yeah, we'll go with that. Like, I'll
Because
just
it's
start some of it.
saturated in oxytocin, so you're boosting that oxytocin hit.
So incredible.
And I just wanted to comment on you like tugging on the cord because I, because the a birth story that I recorded the other day, she did a similar thing, and I actually did a similar thing in my last birth. And I've listened to so many free birth stories as well because I was like obsessed when I was pregnant with my fourth baby. And I heard so many stories about these placentas, like just wouldn't come, but they were just sitting there in the vagina and perhaps just needed that, like a little like cough or a little push or a little tug, like but because we have this story about don't pull on the cord, which is so true, like but when we're in our instinctual self and we're connected with our inner knowing and we're our bodies and we have that feedback, like if it hurts, don't pull on it. But if we feel like, oh, it's just sitting there and it needs a little bit of help, and you pull on it and there's give, obviously that's fine. And it's like connecting back to our instincts as opposed to always, just like this conditioning and these stories, like they're so impactful, even in free birth space. Like, even when we think like we're not being impacted anymore by them, they still pop up. And it's like, I think, it's wild. So yeah, because I had a similar thing where I was like in the pool, I knew my placenta had detached. It was just, I could feel it just sitting there. And I just like pulled on the cord and I pulled it out. And it was like such a primal moment and it was like so satisfying. So yeah, I
Because
just,
we know, like if birth's just left alone, we know what to do. And it's not like I might word this wrong, but it's not like a logical knowing where we have to like, put a scientific explanation on it or mathematize it or, it's just a knowing, like an intuitive knowing, not a logical knowing. Does that make sense?
It's you're just so primal and you have that feedback. Like obviously if you Well, you just wouldn't even do it, like, if you weren't meant to, would you?
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
but let alone, like, you wouldn't just be tugging on your cord. Yeah, if it didn't feel right, and if you felt
Yeah.
pain or if it felt resistance, you'd be like, okay, I'm gonna leave that alone.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, it's detached, so you're just kind of helping it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
Yeah. And when birth is left to unfold the way that it's intended to, those instincts do kick in. It's when we're interrupting that like physiological and like primal process, those instincts might not come as naturally. And it makes me sad for women, I guess, that like, I don't know, I don't want to say this without like, because all births are beautiful and valid and powerful. I guess I have this passion for birth and for women experiencing birth to the extent of what it can be. I have a passion for women experiencing birth untouched and, informed and on their own terms. And yeah. But I think that that's been a big block for me for a long time with like sharing, because people can often mistake my passion for judgment. And it's so hard to sort of get across that it's like, it's really just like passion and love and
Yeah.
wanting the best for everyone out there, all the women and all the children.
I've had the same experience like my whole life because I have known from such a young age, well, I've been passionate about birth from such a young age and witnessed my sister be born and had a mother who was very like positive about birth and stuff. So it's very similar kind of like modeled behavior. I don't know how to, like that was just sort of like my education on birth and motherhood, I guess. I don't know. I never know how to word it. So I never had fear. And then I believe I was like in another lifetime, like a birth worker or a midwife or something. Like it's just always been such like an innate knowing and passion for me. And but yeah, it's so hard when we live in a world that glorifies the medical realm and outsources everything, when we speak on this topic, people just interpret it as judgment. But I just think it's so important that we just go there anyway with love, because we need more stories and information out there, and women need to start taking responsibility over their triggers and their feelings. If something comes up for you, go and do your own work around it. It's all of us have this with many different topics, but it shouldn't block someone from sharing their truth or their story. And it's so important to have this information out there for those women who need to hear it. There's going to be so many women who need to hear what you have to say, and it's going to be profound and be that ripple effect, because right now birth is in crisis and motherhood is in crisis, and it's really damaging to women and children. So yeah, thank you for just being another beautiful voice out there, and sharing freely and
Yeah, and storytelling, like
yes.
it is so important for women. It is one of the reasons that I am here with my stories. Because even though I was passionate about birth from a young age, it then led me to hearing stories and finding really what resonated to me. And I learned so much in the process. I learned so much about the system and I learned so much about other women and different experiences, and that birth is not linear. And yeah, it taught me how to be informed and how to make my own decisions. And those women's stories is what prepared me for birth and prepared me for motherhood. It wasn't, going to see the doctor to confirm I'm pregnant. It wasn't going to see a maternal child health nurse after birth. And it wasn't those things. Those things are not what teach me how to be a mom, or yeah, it just doesn't resonate with me.
Because it's the way we're meant to learn. Like, it lights up something different in our brain. We interpret information differently, as opposed to being spoken down to, like from a person who's like the expert in inverted commas, or a person in authority. Or it's this beautiful medicine that we can like just receive in a way that sits right for us. And it's just bearing witness to other women's stories. And like, it's even if nothing relates, it's like just this beautiful way of connecting. And we used to always just sit in circle, or, be doing life together and sharing stories. And so that's why we crave it so much. And that's why I feel like it is the most beautiful way to learn, because it's not, how do I word this? It's just the frequency, I guess, that women can receive the story. It's not feeling like a judgment. It's not feeling like you're in trouble and you need to like do XYZ. It's like, I'm just sharing with you, take what you need, kind of thing. And it's the most beautiful, profound way. And this is why I'm here, to collect stories and just yarn, and just for women to tap into. And some parts of this conversation might resonate, some might not, but or it might resonate later down the track, just listening in,
Yeah,
having,
absolutely.
learning from other women's experiences. And
Yeah, and I think it helps women really land back in themselves, and become their own authority, realizing that they are the authority as a mother, and not having to like outsource or seek a doctor's opinion or someone else's opinion outside of yourself. It's recognizing that you have the answers. You know what's going on with your child. If you think it needs to go to the doctors, you know what's going on. Just really listen to that and be open to listening to sort of those messages and those things that come in, because we have been taught to sort of shut out that intuition, as if like it's like, oh, kind of reminds me of like the witch burning days. It's like intuition is like some sort of woo-woo magic that like doesn't really exist. And if you talk about intuition like you think you're magic, it's like no, it's more real than that, and much deeper. Like it's, and we all have it. We all have it, and we can all tap into it. But we've all been sort of led astray and led to trust in things outside of ourselves. And I'm all about sort of bringing us back away from that and into ourselves and listening to our intuition and our gut.
Yeah, 'cause it doesn't actually lead you wrong ever. And
No.
lives have been saved when women have listened to their inner knowing and their instinct. I always relate it back, well, when you talk about birth, for example, and how instincts are so powerful in the birth space, like they don't allow people present at a mammal in captivity's birth. Like at the zoo, when mammals, like a lion or, for example, gives birth, it's priority to ensure this that they feel safe and unobserved. Because her instincts are so heightened that if someone interferes in her space, she won't bond with her, or she won't birth safely, and she won't bond with her babies. And we know this, and we believe this, and we honor this. But when it comes to women, for some reason, it's like woo-woo, and it's not facts. It's not,
Isn't that
it's
wild?
wild. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. It's I often think about like when our dog used to birth, and it was the same thing. We'd like create a safe, comfy spot in the dog's favorite spot in the house. Yeah, and as kids, like we're like we'd peek our heads in every now and then, but you know, we leave the dog alone and we let her birth, and even mum, she's like, you know, let her be, don't disturb her. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's just I don't, it's like one thing as a human society that we seem to be going backwards with, just over medicalizing birth.
Yeah, and I love what you said earlier about how birth prepares you for motherhood, because it's so true. Like, if you trust your instincts in birth and you have a really positive birth experience where you feel honored and respected and you're able to go with your instincts and your body, it's like that just flows forward into motherhood, and you feel confident in backing yourself. You feel confident in, like, you know when your child is okay, or when they're sick, you like no, this is the turning point, and we actually do need to like ask for some outside help, and we're so thankful for it in you know the correct circumstances. Or if someone is crossing your child's boundary, like be able to hold that space and be like, no, this is the boundary for my child, and that's not okay. Not feel like you have to continue playing this good girl persona, or like outsource everything because like you can't trust yourself or your instinct, or you don't feel confident to do so. So it really does just it, like the way we birth can set us up to like enter motherhood like really strong and thriving, or the opposite. Yeah.
I agree. And like that's not always easy as well. I feel like when you choose to do motherhood so consciously, it's also harder because it
Yeah.
brings up a lot and it means working through a lot. And yeah, it's just there's a lot going on. A lot comes up and a lot of things need to heal, or it's just a huge, huge journey.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like in another conversation, we sort of touched on this as well about how it's like this lack of elders holding space for us as mothers. So we're sort of in this alone, like paving the way a little bit. And it is so hard, like when you become more conscious, because it's like opening up a can of worms and you're like, oh crap, there's so many things I never considered, or like, yeah, I can see this now and I can't unsee it. And then it's like we're just doing all this work more or less alone. We don't have like, we don't live interconnected with other mothers and families. We're very isolated. We don't have all these elder energy in our culture so much, like holding space for us and showing us like how it's done, or giving us wisdom. It's like we're just learning on the fly. So it's really big work and it's a really big time. And I just applaud you so much for how you're raising your babies and how honest and raw you share, like online as well. I think it's just I've really enjoyed following you, and I know so many women would be like learning just from you sharing your experiences and just slowly create this change that I know we're all craving and know that the world needs. So.
Absolutely. I'm actually, I had this abundance of creative energy just sort of spark within me recently, and I just like went on fire with it. Like I fully started really creating my business vision and even my website. And then I realized again, I was like, oh my God, I smell pregnant. And I was like, Oh wow, like after a while, Iva came and laid on my stomach and she whispered something. And I said, "What did you say?" And she said, "You're growing a baby, mum." And I was like, "Oh." I decided to count my days because I document all of my bleeds. And I was like, "Oh yeah, wow, I am." And then like after that, I really realized that I was pregnant and I could really feel all of that sort of happening. And the amazing part about that was that Iva was conceived of ovulation after Todd's gran passed away. Torvi was conceived the ovulation after my grandmother passed away. And the most recent one was conceived the ovulation after my nan passed away. And then just over the weekend, I was bleeding a lot, and we've realized that we've lost that pregnancy. So that's been really big, and I do believe that that baby will come again when it's ready. But it definitely brought with it a lot of creative energy. So with
Wow.
that experience in going to birth my business into the world and welcome that one back in when it's ready.
Wow, that's so big.
It really like the connection between like birthing grandmothers has felt really powerful. I don't know what's in it and I don't think I need to know, but it feels super special. Even though this one hasn't, we've lost this one, it's still so significant.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to see what how your work evolves and how motherhood evolves for you. And you seem like such like a portal for all this information coming through. And it's really, really powerful. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with me and just sharing little pieces of your journey. I know that it will resonate with so many people.
I've really enjoyed following along with your journeys and how raw and real you are. It's so good because there's that many times you've posted something and I just resonate so deep. I'm like, oh yes, today is definitely one of those days and I feel you and it's nice. Like I feel like most of my connections that I can really resonate with in motherhood have been through social media because I do live in quite a small town and it's hard to find so many women that resonate.
Yeah, that's definitely the upside to social media. It's for mothers, it can be such a beautiful place to connect and learn and not feel so alone in this wild season. All right. Well, thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Lucy.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. For more, you can find me on Instagram at Here to Be Human Podcast. If this space is resonating for you, please like, subscribe, and share so that this podcast can reach more people.